Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, 'I am going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Indeed, he is truly risen. Please be seated. During this entire Easter octave, we overdose, as it were, on the message of Easter, on this great news, this earth-shattering, this cosmological turning point of the resurrection of the Lord. Some people wonder why we make such a big deal out of the Feast of the Lord's Resurrection. And I'm not just thinking in terms of big deal doctrinally, right? Christ is risen from the dead, and all of us who have been baptized by, you know, into his death and his resurrection will live forever with him in unity with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's all very true. But from the perspective of our tradition, we see the resurrection of the Lord as the hinge upon which all history turns. There's a before and then there's an after. But this is the center point. I mean, this is why this time, this Triduum, the particularly the Easter Vigil, is the very center. It's the very heart of our liturgical year. What we do is we walk through, we journey through together as a church that bigger cosmological significance of resurrection. Everything is changed. Everything is different. And the fundamental faith question, I shared this during one of the scrutinies, the fundamental faith question for us and for those who we encounter is speaking about the Lord. Christ is risen or dead as a doornail. It's one or the other. Now, we don't understand the resurrection, so I don't even... There's the theologians and the fathers write volumes on investigating the nature of the resurrection, the different appearances and accounts. That I don't think is at the heart of the resurrectional faith. The heart of our faith in the risen Lord is that belief that the Lord is risen and is among us. The Lord is active and powerful, that the Lord has overcome every obstacle, every shackle, every chain, everything that binds us, everything that enslaves us, everything that dominates us, has decisively broken those and has overcome the greatest enemy of all, which is death, and all of the ways in which death manifests itself in our lives, including the death that each one of us experiences at the end of our life. And that Christ has changed, Christ has transfigured, Christ has transformed every one of us by his death and his resurrection. And so as Christians, we view life and death. We view every event, every moment in our lives through the perspective of the Lord's resurrection. It's not something tacked on to our faith. It's at the very center. It's the very heart of Christian faith. And not resurrection as a general philosophical or theological proposition, but that this person, Jesus, who was known and loved by his disciples, was raised from the dead by the power of God and encountered by witnesses. And so every day we read these beautiful accounts from the Gospels of the encounter, and they're all different encounters, the encounters of the dumbfounded, the awestruck, the unbelieving, or the believing disciples who encounter the risen Lord. So in today's wonderful gospel, Father Thomas and I were sharing, this is, we both love this gospel. I just love it. Is we have Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene represents not just Jesus' close friend and follower. Mary Magdalene represents a world that wants to believe but does not yet believe. The resurrection is the hope beyond hope. It's the hope against hope. It's what every human being deep down longs for, that this is true, but yet a disbelieving world, has not yet come to faith, right? And so where is she? She's at this empty tomb, and how does she read the signs in front of her? Someone's stolen away the one whom she loves. She is inconsolable because the one consolation for Mary Magdalene was, at least I can sit with the body of the one I loved, Jesus, and weep over it. I can anoint his body. And even that consolation has been taken away from her. So she does something. She is curious. The people that we meet in the disbelieving world that we are sent into as the followers of Jesus is a curious world. I am asked all the time about Jesus. It's tentative, might even be a little hostile or a little skeptical. People want to know. So Mary peers into the tomb, and what does she see? She sees two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the foot. Now, before we start thinking about miracles, I want you to think about the significance of those angels being dressed in white on Saturday night, right here. Right here where we baptized Paige McGuan, we dressed her in a white robe. One of these. It's white robes. Symbol of her baptism. We're the angels. We're the messengers. That's what that word means, angelos, a messenger from the Lord. We're the messengers who were sent out into a disbelieving world to share our faith in the risen Lord. And so as the people in this disbelieving world look into the empty tombs of their lives, of their hopes, you know, struggle in the darkness that our Lord does not want them to be in, we're the ones dressed in white who have been plunged into the death and the resurrection of the Lord. Who can say to them, why are you weeping? What is it you're looking for? And we then point to who? We point to the risen Lord. And trusting that the risen Lord, acting in and through us, acting in and through God's church, acting in and through his scripture and the sacraments, especially in the Eucharist, will speak to them. Notice, what does Jesus say? He says nothing else to her but her name. Right? What are you looking for? She says, she thinks he's like somebody else. And if you've taken his body, tell me where it is. And he says her name. And so our goal, because each one of us is sent as an apostle into a world that longs, that hungers to meet the Lord, to meet the risen Lord, our task is to point them to Christ so that Christ might say their name. And then what happens? When Christ speaks the name of Mary Magdalene, says Mary, she immediately recognizes him. And we know this when we speak to the newly baptized, when they talk to us about their journey of faith, the way in which at some point in that journey, their faith crystallized as Christ began to speak their name and speak directly to them, calling them away from the darkness in their own lives or the doubt or the despair, and calling them to new life in him. And so what happens? The Lord says to Mary, immediately, don't cling to me. Why? Because her task, having become a believer, just like our task, is to be sent into the world. One of the ancient titles for Mary Magdalene is Mary Magdalene, the apostle to the apostles. That is, apostle meaning sent, the one sent forth. Mary Magdalene being the one sent by Christ to those who Christ has chosen to be sent into the world to establish the communities of faith by spreading the good news of his life and death and resurrection. So each one of us then at Easter are immediately called not to cling to Christ, not to cling to the moment or the celebration, because the Easter season passes very, very quickly, but recognizing the Lord to go out into a world that is still disbelieving, but a world that longs for and hungers for the Lord, to say, the Lord is risen, to proclaim that the Lord is risen, and to show by the witness of our lives that the resurrection of the Lord has changed and transformed and transfigured each one of us, which is what is symbolized in that white garment of our baptism. And so this is why I like to greet everyone during the Easter season by saying Christ is risen. And of course, our Christian response is, indeed, he is truly risen. Christ is risen. Indeed, he is truly risen. Amen.